you may have anticipated, I'm returning to continue studies in the Gospel according to John. And this morning we reach chapter 12, John chapter 12, and looking particularly at the story in the first part of this chapter. The occasion at Bethany, where Jesus was anointed, the disciples speak, Judas in particular, and Jesus' response. There's a similar account to this in the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 14, the beginning of the chapter there. And between the two, there are some variations in detail, but not enough to suggest that there are different occasions. In fact, there are enough details to indicate they're probably the same occasion. But Mark includes words of Jesus, who says, "Assuredly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her. So let us tell what Mary did today." But not forgetting that her actions belong with this gospel, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. This gospel, Jesus says in Mark, wherever it is preached, what is this gospel? Does it follow? It follows on where he says, "Let her alone. She has kept this for the day of my burial." Is it the gospel of his burial? It is a gospel that Christ died and was buried. Part of it, the gospel which is embodied in Jesus, all that he is and all that he has done. I'm sure it is. It is all of these things where we speak of that gospel. We must speak of Mary. Speak of what she did. We need to speak of why it was remarkable. We need to speak of what stimulated it. What it meant coming from her. What it meant that she did it where she did it and in the circumstances. What it meant that she did it when confronted by discouraging attitudes from people around her and those negative words. What it meant that she heard this permission from Jesus and that encouragement. But let's consider as well what it meant to Jesus to receive that attention when others preferred to take it away from him. And so, as we look at this passage, surely we can see something of Mary's full heart. Reflect on the empty heart of Judas. And I suggest also the grateful heart of Jesus. Maybe this was Mary's own home. Some might suggest that when you read that Martha, her sister, was serving. But not necessarily so. I'm sure many of us have been in situations where you're visiting someone else's home and there's a big gathering perhaps, and everyone pitches in to help and to serve. But Martha was the one who chose to serve, as on another occasion. Mark's version tells us it was in the home of Simon the leper. There may have been a relation between Simon, Lazarus, and his sisters. We do not know. But there, in this relatively public setting, Martha was serving, Lazarus was sharing the meal with Jesus, Mary comes out and anoints Jesus, drying his feet with her hair. And we need to pause and get some idea of what Mary did. Jesus was one of a group, quite probably just men, and they would have been reclining around a table. It tells us they sat, but in those days they would have been reclining. And that would mean that his head, his upper body was near the table to eat, and his feet were out, perhaps sort of in almost a circle, if you like. And then in that setting, for a woman to come out not serving, that may in itself have been quite notable. What's she going to do? Here, she doesn't have a tray of food, or she's not clearing away. What's she doing? When you read in Mark, you read that she anointed his head. John tells us it was her feet. John tells us it was a pound of this oil of spikenard. And a pound is really a great deal. It's not one of these tiny little fancy perfume bottles. A pound of weight of this oil. And that could well cover the whole person. As Mark goes on to tell us, Jesus spoke of her anointing my body for burial. And it's quite possible, indeed probable, I think, that John is just picking out one part of another detail that is very meaningful. He talks about when she comes to his feet. Not only did she anoint his feet with this oil, but she wiped his feet with her hair. And for her to let her hair down in that kind of setting, in public, was just not done at that time. It was a drastic action. There's something substantial going on in Mary's life, in Mary's heart. Then there's the oil. Verse 3, she took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard. This was a gift of huge substance, really was. Even if Mary came from a relatively wealthy family, we don't know if she did, but even if she was, and however small it might have been relatively for her, still it was a huge gift to give to anyone, especially someone who was this wandering teacher. Of course, he had just brought her brother back to life, and perhaps it was a reflection primarily of her feelings in response to that. But the point is, to anyone looking on, this was an act of wild abandon. The oil was very costly. The spikenard, nard was the name of a plant that is found in India. I believe it's particularly North India. And the oil from it, one of these essential oils, gives off a very rich scent. It's that fragrance that's of special interest. There were other places, like Greece, much closer to hand, where you could get something similar. But the Indian version was the very best. It was the richest, and therefore the most costly. The spike of the nard, you might think, would seem to be the central point, as many plants do go up and they come to a central head where you get the seeds and so on. And perhaps that made it extra special. But to get to Bethany, this oil would have travelled about 2,500 miles from India, most likely the purest, the very costly oil of nard. And then we read the comment of Judas. He seems to have had an eye for these things. And he could just sum up, and he could assess that this oil, perhaps he had been looking at it on the market the day before, who knows. He said it could have been sold for 300 denarii. One denarius, 300 denarii, and given to the poor. And we discover that this was an amount that came to about a year's wages for an ordinary working man. And if you were to calculate on today's UK national minimum wage, the minimum wage for an adult, it would come to about £12,500 for a year's earnings. And that's the value of this oil of spikenard. She had it in the house. Why? We don't know. What we do need to discover and consider is, why would this woman do what she did? Jesus does say that she kept this for the day of my burial. The original language there is not easy to understand, but this would seem to be the best representation of it. It might suggest too that she would had it in her hands, had it for some time, perhaps for other reasons, and she comes to this day and she cannot hold it back any longer. Jesus said she did it for my burial, and that was still to come. so much so that very few of the people around him, if any, had taken any notice particularly of what he had already told them. Several times he had told them that he was going to suffer and die. But they're not giving any credence to that. It was a shock to them when it actually happened. It's unlikely that Mary had grasped that he was going to his own death. But he saw it that way. He understood. It's not, we cannot be sure at all that she did know all of that herself, but that's the way that Jesus received it. What I think we can say, quite definitely, is that she did it simply out of the fullness of her heart. Out of her love and devotion for this one, this man who had helped them so much, who had given them such wonderful companionship. He knew the family well. There are other places we read that she sat at his feet and just listened as he talked and spoke. And what happens here is telling us of the measure of her love for this Jesus. And I think that is what Jesus intends to be spoken about. That's the testimony that she bears even today as we think of the gospel. And that raises the question to you. Jesus had not yet died. He'd not yet risen. These things were very poorly understood, if at all. But even so, in his ministry, in their lives, for those few years, and his friendship, it drew this out of Mary, this great, great gift. There is a question to you. What is your gift to the Lord? In the old days, the Israelites would bring grain offerings, and that grain that they had harvested, it would be steeped in oils and incense. And it was offered, and it was received by God as a sweet aroma to the Lord. You can see that in Leviticus 2. There was that response of the heart for what God had done. What do you accumulate to yourself? 12,500 pounds worth of oil. It was in a jar. She would have just probably just broken the neck of it to spill it out. Perhaps she had spotted this jar of oil some months before in the market. She had the money. Maybe some years before. It was a special treat. Perhaps she was keeping it for a special day. Maybe she was planning to use a little of it day by day and stretch it over some months. But she comes to this day and she's under compulsion to just spill it all out because of the love and the honor that she has towards Jesus. Doesn't matter if it was spur of the moment or not. Doesn't matter if it was primarily in response to his raising of Lazarus from the dead. The fact is she has showing here just the measure of the love that she has for Jesus. The question is, this Jesus, the testimony for her, the reason we need to speak of this when we speak of the gospel, is the question, what does Jesus mean for you? All that he is and all that he has done and all that he has said, how much will you give him? What does it mean? What does it call forth from you? Take a special thing like this. However wealthy she was, it was significant. What special thing do you have that you will dispose of, break the neck and just pour it out for him? It doesn't matter if you even fully understand what he's about. Do it in answer to what you do understand. God with us. The mind of Christ. What was it that he humbled himself to become like one of us? From the glory of the throne room of heaven. He's come to be a man. And such a man who had nowhere to call his own. He's done that. Why don't you respond as Mary did? It may not be things. It should be. It should be all that we have. But it begins with the heart. And we'll give our hearts. It's a sure and certain fact that every single human being would prefer to keep control of their own heart for themselves. For you. That's the way it is with you. It's the way it is with me. The question is, will you give it to him? She threw herself out. She embarrassed herself. But she was driven because of her love for him, because of his love for her. My life is my life, people would say. Mary says, never mind all that. He's the one that matters. And bear that in mind too, in the context of what Jesus says in verse 8, the poor you have with you always, but me you do not have always. He just covered the screen for her. She could see nothing else but this Jesus there before them. And under the leading of the Spirit also, I believe, she did something for his burial. And then Judas, right there, goes and puts such a dampener on it. He was practical as ever, of course. When I take one of these great saints, take Mary, you can talk about Moses, you can talk about Daniel, you can talk about all of these, and you look at the way they devoted themselves to the Lord, when I talk about them, people will say, well, you can't ask that of anyone. 12,500 pounds poured out at Jesus' feet. You can't ask that from anyone. I heard a minister in a small congregation suggest that some elders in a big city church, not that far away, but that they should think of moving house to live, where they could become part of that struggling group. I heard it. And an elder in that big city congregation said, you can't ask anyone to do that. I've heard of a wealthy early retiree who went out and bought himself a new boat so he could go fishing and cruising with his wife. And they gave the old tattered boat that was breaking down to the missionary so that he could get up the river in New Guinea to take the gospel of eternal life to people. You can't ask people to do that. Why not? That's Mary's testimony. I heard a testimony of a lovely lady who gave 12,500 pounds worth of oil to show her love for the one who loved her. And I heard a testimony of a man who was eminently practical and wished that she had sold it so he could hold it back from his master, so he could give it to the poor or to himself. Where Mary's heart was bursting so that she burst that jar of oil, Judas, his heart had nothing to give this man who had led him, done so much before him for 3 years. Nothing of all these things that Jesus had said or done had gripped his heart. In fact, we read in Mark that this seems to have been the tipping point, that it was after this that Judas goes off and arranges to sell his master. Not just to this jar of oil, but his master. Not for 300 denarii, but for 30 pieces of silver. He wasn't the only one. Mark tells us that it was the disciples. It was John who tells us that it was Judas who spoke. Mark says it was the disciples who spoke. There were others who completely failed to appreciate what they saw happening. And we can fail to do so as well. Especially if we go out of here and do nothing. Jesus wrote this story, verses 1 through to 8, and a connecting passage in that section in verses 9 to 11. Then he tells another story of not just one woman, but a great number of people who laid their palm branches and their cloaks at Jesus' feet. Then there was a third story that follows where there are people of the nations, the Greeks, who wanted to see Jesus. There were people for whom Jesus had a great interest. There were people in whom he stirred up a passion. There were people who were devoted to him, great one measure or another. We've been reading through chapters 11, the first 11, where he calls people to believe in him, to see what he did, to hear what he had to say about what he did, to put their trust in him, to devote themselves to him. And here is a chapter which shows a few people who did, for a bit at least. But the question through Mary to you today is, what's in your heart when you consider what Jesus is and what he's done? It's to call you to take a fresh look at him. There was Jesus lying, reclining there to eat, and Mary comes out and pours oil on him. Didn't someone there say, let me take another look at this Jesus? What's happening here? Take a fresh look at him. Answer, Lord, take my heart. This is the testimony of Mary. She gave her heart. Judas would rather keep his and his life in the bag. Is there anything in your life that you keep in the bag from Jesus? What reason do you have for doing so? And all the more when you see Jesus' response, see the joy in Jesus' heart when he receives this from Mary. When he answers Judas, when he answers the disciples, the cold ones, he shows that he himself has a heavy heart. I suggest at this stage that Mary probably knew very little, if anything, about the proximity, how close Jesus' death and burial was. But Jesus knew. He was fully aware. He knew what was ahead. And he knew that in what was ahead, no one would stand with him. No one was truly with him. He was of interest. He had piqued their interest. Except there is Mary who comes out. She pours her oil and her heart over him. Just to have someone to commit themselves to him was enough. She kept this for the day of my burial. There were others who did anoint him at his burial. Took him down from the cross and they anointed him with, again, a lot of spices. But it was once he was dead. He had gone to his death alone. They were too late to come out on his side. But Mary had done it. And the Lord of heaven and earth appreciated the gesture. There are settings in life where you're always making sure that someone you love has what they need, like parents for their children. And it entails what might be called sacrifices. But you don't tend to think of them like that, because that's what life is about. That's what you believe is worthwhile. You give yourself because you love that person. But your giving still wears you down. You are human after all. That's the scene we have, I think, with Jesus. Jesus was giving himself, constantly giving himself for the good of the people out of the love of his heart, but it was wearing him down. And the anticipation of the death that was ahead of him especially. Look at the agony that he went through in the garden shortly after this. It was wearing him down. He's a man. And this was a tremendous token of support for him. What a letdown immediately to hear the words of Jesus. Here was Mary, we might say, being so positive towards him. It just took a word or two to cut it all down, except for Jesus' own strength. Let her alone. She's kept this for the day of my burial. What about you, in other words? Jesus was not dismissing the needs of the poor. He says you have them with you always. Work with them, provide for them, yes. But if that's the leading focus, and you pass Jesus by, you're missing the best yourself. There are many, many out there who will do a great deal of work and, to our shame, often better than ourselves in the church. And they will do a great deal of work helping the poor, the needy, the suffering. But that is not eternal life for them. It's only by knowing the Lord Jesus and devoting yourself to him. When we have this, Mary was not using Jesus as an excuse to avoid helping those dirty poor folk in the town. Another setting where the Pharisees said, well, we're giving this to God, so we can't help our elderly parents. She wasn't doing it to escape helping her parents. It was simply that she loved Jesus, and this drove her. It was that Jesus needed to see that she loved him. So it is still now. Go abandon, wild abandon. When have we last done that? Out of love for the Lord. There is nothing in me, there's nothing in you that adds anything to God. You might say God is perfectly happy. But even so, this is an indication he is glad. It does bring joy to his heart when you realize what he's done for you and you can't stop yourself responding in kind. This must have been such an encouragement to Jesus at such a time. I'm sure it was true of Mary because she knew this Lord whom she loved. True of her as it was as when Paul wrote to the Philippians, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. There's a great deal more that could be said on Mary. But I'm just reminded too, and I'll close with reading a few verses in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Paul writes, this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness remains forever. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness while you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. For the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgivings to God, while through the proof of this ministry, they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal sharing with them and all men, and by their prayer for you, who long for you because of the exceeding grace of God in you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Where this gospel is preached all over the world, this will be told of Mary, her testimony to her. the Lord, all you his saints. May God grant blessing on his word today. Let us pray together.